I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Consider yourself forewarned and forearmed. When Matt Jones and I get together, we really don't have any idea where the show is going to go. So it's going to be a roller coaster ride for 3 hours, and I can't get away from lawyers. Amber Wilson is out on vacation. Matt Jones is in here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, as we are presented in part by Progressive Insurance. Russell Wilson has been jettisoned from the Denver Broncos. Mark Schlereth scheduled to join us, three-time Super Bowl champion, coming up bottom half of the hour to react to that news and a whole hell of a lot more. And when your pre-show meeting involves chicken farms, bovines, or what smells worse, strawberry and mushroom fields, you know you're in for an interesting 3 hour extravaganza. Mr. Jones, always good to have you along. What does smell worse, by the way?
See, that's what I would do this show on. Forget about Russell Wilson. He's been bad for 2 years. I would have a conversation about what is the worst smelling place. We were talking about turkey farms, chicken farms,
bovines.
You said strawberry fields.
Oh yeah.
So I think that to me is a much more interesting conversation. But we can talk about Russell Wilson and his $70 million cap hit if that's what they want us to.
By the way, I have lived next to a chicken farm and covered many a training camp out in Oxnard, California with the Dallas Cowboys, which are surrounded by strawberry fields. And I will tell you, and having grown up on a thoroughbred horse farm in Folsom, Louisiana with cattle, I would tell you right now that the chicken ranch, the chicken farm, is number one when
chicken
it comes
ranch
to
chicken ranch is the worst. There are chicken ranch, chicken factory ranch, all that stuff. They are out there. We're in like eastern North Carolina. I went to law school at Duke, so like Duplin County and Jones County out there. We got some in western Kentucky that are like that. Arkansas. Anybody that's been next to a chicken or turkey place, you know it stinks. And by the way, this is not the kind of insight you get on Greeny. Greeny doesn't know about that.
Greeny
makes too much money to know about chicken and turkey farm. So you're not gonna get that from 10 to noon on Greeny.
Man, let me tell you something, man. Greeny has never. Heck, I know for a fact, nobody, not a single soul on the entire ESPN Radio lineup has any idea what a muck wagon is. Now, Matt Jones does, right?
But
a muck wagon is when you go into your muck installs at the age of about four on a Tautog farm in Folsom, Louisiana, and you have to do something with that feces. You know where
it goes? Don't get me wrong. Now,
in the muck wagon.
Before you go too far. I would never do that.
I
know about it, but I stay away.
But you knew what the muck wagon was.
Greeny thinks a muck wagon is the stuff he uses on his hair at night to get it ready for television. So
he's a dapper damn
man. I don't even know Greeny. I'm just kidding with you. I'm sure it's wonderful. Ian, good to see you.
Oh, good to be with you, man.
I'm sending all this to Bubba and Cam and Greeny for tomorrow.
So. Oh, please do. Please
Greeny
do.
Has a producer named Bubba. That's good. I like
that. Yeah, I mean, that's like halfway,
good.
Right?
That's nice to see.
He's a Cowboy fan. That should shock you. He knows what the strawberry fields in Oxnard smell like. They smell like a chicken farm. There you go. Right there. It's little things in life. We bring it all together right here on ESPN Radio. But Russell Wilson is no longer a Denver Bronco. And this doesn't surprise any of us. I mean, you know, he's going to get paid his money guaranteed over $37 million, or whatever the heck it is, for the Denver Broncos. He can sign for a league minimum somewhere else. But, Matt, here's the kicker. If you're an NFL team right now, are you taking Russell Wilson, who's been jettisoned from his last two teams in Seattle and Denver, are you taking Russell Wilson over Baker Mayfield? Are you taking Russell Wilson over Kirk Cousins? Are you taking Russell Wilson over Justin Fields? To me, the answer is no, no, and no.
He's last on that list
for me.
Thank you. For me, let's just say that I had those four choices and I'm a franchise. If I think I can win next year, right? Like if I think I'm there absent a quarterback, then I'm taking Kirk Cousins. Absent that, I'm taking Justin Fields because I know what those other dudes are. Kirk Cousins in his prime, I think I would like, but I think he's on the back end. Baker Mayfield's fine, but he's not going to win a Super Bowl. And then for me, Russell Wilson is by far the fourth one. I'm taking Justin Fields on the possibility that I could get him and he could reach another level. I don't think it's certain, but I think it's the most possible. But I'm going to go, if I'm ranking those for the teams I'd want, if I thought I had a Super Bowl team outside of quarterback, then I would take Kirk Cousins, but otherwise I'm taking Justin Fields. But Russell Wilson is last. He is last.
I'm with you.
He's last. I mean, I don't know why you would do it. With the money and with also the baggage, and remember the divadom. Right? Like, he's like, it's one thing to not be the greatest. It's another thing to be a diva and not the greatest. And that's where Russell Wilson is, at least to me.
Yeah. And wherever he ends up, if he continues to play, look, you're only going to owe him the league minimum because Denver's on all that other cash. So
that is true. He is affordable.
Yeah. Oh, he's the most affordable guy of the ones that we just listed, by far, not even close, man. Because if you bring in Justin Fields, you know, you're arguably. If you're going to trade for him, you're picking up his fifth-year option. So you're on the hook for, you know, the $4 million this year plus a 23.8 you would owe him for the fifth-year option. So you're on the hook for $28 million, whereas Russell Wilson is cost-efficient. But here's the other part, man. If you're Russ, why still go out there and do it? He's not going to go compete to be a starter. You know, like I heard, you know, I think it was Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live today. As a matter of fact, we'll let Dano explain it himself, where Russell Wilson is not going to have near the number of suitors that he thinks he might and would even want to go compete.
Ian, do you think there's any team out there that would like to have Russell Wilson as their starter next year? Because the reason I say that is three teams are going to pick a guy early in the draft. They're going to probably start him, whoever that is. Then you got, like, the Raiders might take J.J. McCarthy, but, like, you're probably going to want to start him too, or if not, you're going to want to find somebody. You're not going to have the Russell Wilson baggage over the younger guy. I don't know that there's any team that would want him to start, do you?
Like I said, I would take Baker Mayfield. If I'm Tampa, I'm banking on Baker. I'm not letting him leave the building. So and I'm with you on Kirk Cousins. Before he tore his Achilles, man, they got it right in a hurry. Kirk Cousins is I think undervalued in this league.
So who's the Kirk Cousins team though? Like if who's the one? I mean, do you think
Atlanta?
Yeah, but do you think Atlanta's one quarterback away from?
That's a good young roster.
I mean, well, if he's the guy in that division,
you know, I mean, I think Atlanta is a great fit for Kirk Cousins. You know, or Justin Fields, who's from Atlanta, from the Georgia area. But, again, I'm with you on Russell Wilson. Now, how many suitors will he have, and would he want to go compete with another veteran to be a starter? Here's Orlovsky on NFL Live.
No one's going to jump at Russell right now. The real question is Russell Wilson comfortable being a fringe competing starter or backup? Now, it's funny because Baker Mayfield's going to get a ton of money, and he earned that. Their numbers are relatively similar off of last season, and Baker obviously had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, much better talent to throw on a consistent basis. But if you look at the teams, New England drafting number three, probably going to take a quarterback or at some point. Pittsburgh doesn't seem like you're going to jump. Tennessee moving forward, Will Levis. The Giants, maybe. But then that's, again, a competing starting quarterback position. Maybe Washington, but I would imagine they draft somebody at two. So there's just not a lot of seats going to be available for Russell.
How dare he act like Will Levis does not have that Tennessee job. That is my Kentucky quarterback, Will Levis.
He's the starter at that job. You didn't listen.
Don't even act like, though, Russell Wilson is a choice. They're all in on Will Levis,
and they should be.
He should be. I agree with him, though. Like I said, if I'm one of those top three teams, so let's say you're the Commanders or the Patriots. You want to play the young guy, and if you don't think he's ready for whatever reason, then I'd want someone like Gardner Minshew, right? Look, I'd want someone like that. I would not want Russell Wilson there unless he's the guy, and he's not the guy, I think, for any of these teams.
For once in our careers of doing shows together, we agree that, you know.
What do you mean for once? You and I agree. I mean, you and I agree that, like, first of all, I like you because there's, like, four voices at ESPN that sound like ours, right? There's me, there's you, there's Marty Smith, and there's
Ryan McGee.
That's it.
That's the list.
And that's it. Now, you three are a lot more popular than I am. They still, like, you have to.
Those two are on their own category, Coach.
Yeah,
but so are you.
You're doing all these games. Like, people barely know I work at ESPN. They're like, Matt Jones, who's that? Is that the running back
for
Florida?
Companies.
But I will say there are four country voices, and they put two of them on the show. Normally, they only do that at 7 to 9 in the morning on Saturdays, but they actually did it today.
You're kind of the big voice for Marty McGee, though, too. So you're on the Marty McGee.
Do you know that story, by the way, Ian? When I first started here, they just decided they needed someone to do the intros for Marty and McGee. They didn't want them to have to do their own intros. So they would call me up and they'd go, Matt, talk country into the microphone for Marty and McGee. And I'd go, I'd just play it
you
up.
Mean
I'd
speak?
Be like, it's Saturday morning here on Marty and McGee on ESPN Radio. I would do that on purpose because I knew that was what they wanted. And so
that was
my job.
Only you, man. Only you. And the Suits were worried that they might need a translator with you and I being back together for the first time in a long time to actually go through some Southernese in order for the rest of the country to understand what the heck you and I are saying. But bottom line is, Russ is out in Denver. He's looking for a job. He's made over $300 million. Heck, if I was Russell Wilson, I'd have 10 toes up on a beach somewhere saying, you know what? I've got a ring. I've made over $300 million. Only three other players in the history of the NFL have made more money than I have.
Is that right? I didn't
yes,
realize that.
I'm good. I'm taking it to the beach. He's Matt Jones. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Coming up next, when you return, you will hear an all-timer when it comes to a retirement speech from one of the best to ever get it done right here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
A Philadelphia sports icon has called it a career. 36-year-old center Jason Kelce announced his retirement.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you for letting me represent this city. It has truly been a privilege.
Everybody says he's one of the greatest centers to ever exist. His resume is legit. You know, that's why anything he does in the football world is going to be a smashing success.
Yeah, sure.
And I can't wait for it.
He's one of a kind. And, you know, it's kind of cliche when guys retire. Everybody's in the Hall of Fame. I don't buy into that. This dude is in it, bro. He is as good as it gets.
They stink, man. I'm telling you, you come across some strawberry fields, they'll drop a donkey at 30 yards, I promise you. With Matt Jones, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, Jason Kelce. I agree, Matt. He's going to Canton. You know, 7-time Pro Bowler, 6-time All-Pro. He's got the ring. And over the last 7-8 years, he's been one of the best at his craft, at his position. And his retirement speech today, in between fighting back the tears and it sometimes losing that battle to the tears and the emotion, you could hear a pin drop in that room. I mean, it was and the some of the pictures that came out afterward, even in the Eagles cafeteria, I mean, you had half of them were crying, half of them were laughing. I mean, but whenever he was speaking and not, you know, tearing up or telling a funny story, word was you could hear literally a pin drop throughout the entire facility. And he had some funny lines today too, man. And about 5 seconds in, Matt, first F-bomb just hit the floor. Bam,
yeah,
right there.
It's like right after ESPN went live. So let me just – it's interesting.
Which
first
James
of all, he seems like a great
right
personality.
That was his favorite part, right, of the entire presser.
It's so funny.
Kelce just goes ahead like typical Kelce brother fashion and drops an F-bomb right on you right off the get-go.
So, like, I – well, first of all, two things. Number one, I have no idea what centers do. So, like, when everybody tells me he's, like, the best center of all time, I don't really know what they do. I mean, I know they snap the ball, but then it just looks like they just hit whoever's right in front of them. So, I people say he's the best at it. I'm just going to have to trust their judgment because I don't really consider myself a center evaluator. So, assuming that, I was, like, out on all things Kelce until this year. I knew who they were. Travis and Jason, obviously I knew their games, but like I kind of thought they both seemed like knuckleheads and I just was
well, they know, are.
I just wasn't really a fan. And then because of the whole Taylor Swift thing, they all entered my world a lot more and I started listening to their podcast, which I always assumed was just two buffoons talking. And then I found out that A, they're both likable. And Jason is insanely likable. He's not only likable, he's smart, he's engaging. And from moment one, I mean, Travis seems fine too. But Jason, to me, became one of the most interesting people in sports. The mixture of being smart, giving his brother a hard time, showcasing emotion, right? Like you saw today. Like he was a real human being. So, first of all, he's going to kill it in the media. He'll probably be working with us one day, I would assume, or somebody around here, or you, like that he won't be on the times of day I'm on. But nevertheless, I'm serious. I really like the guy. So, it was very cool watching it today. And I think you talk about a guy who's become a star out of nowhere in a year. Jason Kelce's that guy.
Man, he has been, and he calls all the checks to the offensive line. Wicked smart, undersized, right? Like, remember when Tom Brady a couple years ago was just unloading on his offensive line in his last year at Tampa, and on the New Heights podcast with his brother, Travis, he goes, if a quarterback comes up to me and starts talking to me like that, there's maybe one or two that get a pass, and Tom happens to be one of them. But if it's anybody else, I will dump truck your bleep and bleep in a trash can. You come up here and try and wrestle another 300 guy, pound guy around and move him against his will in a direction he doesn't want to go, and then you're going to mother-roo me? For hell with you, buddy. I'm going to dump truck you in a trash can. I've never heard the term dump truck someone in a trash can, and I loved it. That's
Jason
Kelce. Well,
you got to be a certain kind of person, I guess, to do that. But I freely acknowledge my like or dislike of most, especially offensive linemen, because, like, I don't know what they do. I mean, I just watch and you know, offensive linemen, it's like referees. You only know who they are when they screw up. But I do like him as a personality. And, you know, he got the best of everything. You know, Travis Kelce is now so famous, his life has changed, but Jason got just famous enough that he's going to get to be rich and exciting, but doesn't have people screaming at him and yelling at him and have Aaron Rodgers talking about him on podcasts. It's the best thing he can be is Jason Kelce. What a great life. His wife seems cool. They seem like a fun family. Like, he seems like the best guy. I want to be friends with him. I mean, I don't think we will be, but I'd like to because he seems like a good dude to hang out with.
Oh, that video of him in the wrestling mask and the Kansas City overalls after the Super Bowl.
How great
right?
was that?
Just, I mean, drunk as a rat. I mean, just kind of trying to keep up with Travis and Taylor. Those videos were absolutely hilarious. And that's who the guy is. But, oh, by the way, for 13 years, half of his career, he was one of, if not the best at his craft. In the National Football League, and nobody can take that away from him. He's going to Canton, and you mentioned
when's the last time anybody's ever cared about a center retiring? Like,
yeah, that's a great point.
This is not a good question for you because you like are Mr. Football and you know all these people. But if I were to ask the average football fan, okay, tell me a famous center, they would be like, well, Dermoni Dawson. And
Kentucky
Anthony
Munoz. Well done.
And
Munoz was not a center.
Exactly. So I have Dermoni Dawson and Jason Kelce. Like, that's the list. And the fact that he
Jeff
has
Saturday.
Become – that's right, who has the dreamiest eyes in person.
He really does Carolina Blues, man.
When Jeff Saturday is looking at you, you will forget what you're talking about. I'm just being honest with you. But Jason Kelce now enters that pantheon of guys.
Why did you just lean into our Zoom camera?
Because I wanted to look at you and point to you that you will not be able to
It should be noted that James said the same thing about Jeff Saturday's eyes earlier, that they are dreamy.
They are the brightest eyes I've ever seen in my life.
Here's also, since we're off on Jeff Saturday for a second. True story about this as well, because this ties into the passing yesterday of Chris Mortensen. When I first started at ESPN, I would come to the building every day, and I knew no one. And the two people that never failed to be nice to me, and I was no one, like knew not one person in the building, Jeff Saturday and Chris Mortensen, who were both unbelievably kind. So I have a soft spot in my heart for both of those people.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Mort. We're going to do this, and we'll still do it later on in the show. But Mort, man, you talk about one of the most genuine human beings ever. I mean, not just the football world, but our lives are all going to be a little different without Mort in it. And he would join Randy Galloway and I on ESPN Dallas every Tuesday and just hold court. Just tell stories, man. And if you ever needed something, Mort was there for you. I mean, every single time. Just a text message away and bam, what do you need? You know? Or he'd text you if he was listening and correct you on something in the most polite way, knowing about, like, you kind of got it right, but you really didn't. You know what I mean? That was Mort, just to help you out so you wouldn't embarrass yourself to a new audience later on in the program. I mean, that's Mort to a degree. That's Jeff Saturday. And Jason Kelsey's kind of that same ilk, man. I mean, that dude just lives life and lived a life. And you're right, he is going to be a remarkable broadcaster because he doesn't give a bleep. You know,
he does. But a lot of times when people talk about somebody not giving a bleep, it's like code word for them being a jerk, right? Like they can just, they're like, oh, he doesn't give a bleep. He says what? I always think it's interesting about Jason Kelsey. He doesn't seem to give a bleep, but he's also kind. Like, in his not caring.
That's a fine line to walk.
Yeah, in his not caring, he doesn't then choose to mock and take it out on other people. And that is a really cool line, like you said. And I don't think there's a lot of people like that.
Coming up at the top of hour number two at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, Reese Davis is set to join us. Championship weeks have begun in college basketball. The A's Suns already underway their conference tournament.
Yeah, Atlantic Suns.
The big boys get after it next week. Reese Davis and all things college hoop and the future of college football. You don't want to miss that coming up in about 35 minutes. And he'll tell you about the best sushi joint in America.
You told me this before the show. If you think the best sushi joint is in the town you said, you're insane.
A three-time Super Bowl champion joins us next here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Matt Jones, I mean, Fitzsimmons, Russell Wilson, gone.
No, who is this singer? What is this?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Luke Combs? You don't like Luke Combs?
No! You're a real cut. Yeah, you really from the South to tell me you like Luke Combs? Ian, I thought you were actually a Southerner, not like a Nashville going to Broadway bars Southerner.
Let me tell you something, Coach. You got Willie, you got Waylon, you got Chris Kristofferson. I mean, that's
yes,
that's, truly
that's what I like. And you like
up.
Luke Bryan, oh. Luke Combs?
No, whoa. I do not like the twerker Luke Bryan. No, No.
My
Luke Combs.
Actually, to be fair though, like Luke Combs, the thing he did with Tracy Chapman was pretty cool. So I'll give him a pass.
Yeah, no, but yeah, Luke Bryan, no, Luke Combs, yes. Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champion. You can catch him on 104.3 The Fan. Absolutely better, more famous, by the way, in certain demographics as Rock Hoover, star in Guiding Light. Mark Schlereth joins us now here on ESPN Radio. Stink, how we doing, man? How's that yard looking?
I'm getting ready, Ian. I'm getting ready. I got the fertilizer ready. I got the overseed ready. I got some dirt ready to go in. Yeah, I'm ready to roll, man. It's about ready to get springtime, and That's my time of the year.
Hell yeah. Right there with you. Now, would you please tell Matt what is hanging in your garage that has not been washed? I think we're going on now 4 summers rolling, right?
Yeah. My lawn outfit. It smells like victory is what it smells like. I don't wash it. I don't launder it. I don't clean it in any way, shape, or form. It goes on every time I mow or every time I have a landscaping project. And it keeps the neighbors away from asking questions of what exactly it is I'm doing and can I help them out in their yard. So it's got dual benefit to it.
Mark, the only time I've ever heard of anything like that, I'm in the wrestling business some, and there was a wrestler named Vader, Big Van Vader, and then he became Vader,
yeah,
who was notorious for never washing his ring outfit, and thus he would give people pile drivers, and you can guess how that ended up.
Oh.
Is that so you're kind of the Vader, I guess, of yard work.
Yeah. I used to do in college, too. I would go the whole semester without washing my workout clothes. So, and I would have, at the end of the semester, I'd have, like, 7 shirts on just to hold back the smell of the internal 2 or 3. So, yeah, I mean, that was
right,
how I rolled. But I felt like it was like, you know, Samson not cutting his hair. There was just something about it that made you feel like a man.
Yeah, I mean, just enjoy your own waft right there, man. Just go ahead and
get
all up in it.
Your own little personal Dutch oven. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
We could do this all night, but we need to actually get into some football before we all get fired. With Matt Jones, who's in for Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. Stink, you make your home there in Denver. You've watched Russell Wilson up close. This is his second job that he has lost. I mean, Seattle, didn't want him anymore, gone. Now jettisoned from Denver. We know what went wrong in year one. What happened with he and Sean Payton in year two there in Denver?
Well, I mean, I think it's exactly what they were able to overcome in Seattle all those years. And, you know, all the years where it was let Russ cook and let Russ do this. In hindsight, it really was about managing what Russ could do, what Russ couldn't do. And I think what frustrated Sean Payton so bad is the amount of off-schedule things that Russell tried to make happen while taking, you know, giving up a profit or not taking a profit, so to speak. And so, you know, the issue was there are many times where things are open and Russ just doesn't throw them. It's almost like, I don't want to throw that or I don't see that. And so let me go make something better happen. And if you look at all the sacks, because consistently 45 sacks a year in Seattle, you know, here in Denver as well. And I talked to the Seahawks personnel about this. I talked to their coaching staff about this. I said, hey, man, in my film study, the last 3 games that I've looked at, you know, every time I did a game, I'd say a good 30 to 35% of every sack given up in Seattle over those years and here in Denver as well is 100% Russ's fault. He's taken them.
Wow.
He's taken away a three-step drop where he decides not to throw the ball. He spins out of the back of the pocket where a tackle is setting up on a short set, and all of a sudden he takes a sack for 7 yards, -7, and you can't function that way. You can't. It's really hard to overcome those mistakes, and that's where they found themselves, the lack of continuity, the lack of anticipatory throws, the lack of throwing the ball on time, getting out of your hand. And, you know, the big plays, although they do make some big plays, or he has made some big plays, those over the years with athleticism, his athleticism is still great, but with it waning a little bit and not being able to outrun those edge players, those big plays are fewer and further between, and so you can't make up and you can't overcome the sacks and the 7 yard, 9 yard losses. So I just think there was a lack of personality fit there for Russ and Sean just did not want to play that way.
I remember, I think it was not this past season, but the season before, there was an Amazon game, and Richard Sherman was calling the Denver game, and he just, after it was over, just annihilated Russ. And I remember thinking, man, that's his teammate. That says a lot to me that somebody would say that later, not just about the way he played, but also his personality. Is that, first of all, did that people feel that way in Denver, or did that get better? And then sort of secondly, is it the kind of thing, Mark, where like when you're winning – you can do that, but then when you stink and aren't as good, you can't? Is that or was he always the same guy, or did he change?
No, I think over time, you know, that over time when you got celebrity in Seattle, some of that changed a little bit. And, you know, and it's the you acquiesce for that guy to have his people in the building. You know, he had four or five different people within the building that were monitoring what he did, what he ate, how many reps he took, all those different things. And I think over time, listen, when you're winning and you're competing at a championship level, everybody just kind of, you know, whatever, it's fine. But when you're not, and some of those things get, you know, some of those things get looked at a little side-eyed, you know, when your family, you know, I mean, here in Denver, for instance, like during training camp, his wife and his kids could go in the facility, use the bathrooms. Everybody else has to use the porta potties. Well, you know, I mean, when you're winning, I guess you get over that. But when all of a sudden you're looking at that going, wait, whoa, why I can't, my wife can't go in the bathroom.
And you're turning the ball over, right? And he's the one making the turnovers.
Yeah. So there is, I think there's some of that that goes on. I think he had a good relationship with the folks here. And one thing about Russ, I mean, Russ works exceptionally hard and all that stuff. So, you know, I get all that. But, you know, part of that, too, is there always seems to be we've got to point it out. You know, we've got to talk about it. We've got to, in our press conferences, explain that we're the ones doing high knees and everybody else is sleeping. And I don't think he's trying to besmirch teammates or anything. But sometimes it just comes out that way. It's a little bit cringeworthy. And I think over time is what happened in Seattle. I don't think it's happened here in Denver. But I think over time in Seattle, it really wore the nerves of some of the players he played with very thin. And he became a fairly unpopular guy with some of the team, but a lot of the staff.
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion. He's a wordsmith. He's a landscaper. You can catch him on 104.3 The Fan. And his shirt, well, the neighbors don't like it very much because he hadn't washed it in 4 years, meaning his yard outfit. Mark Schlereth here with us on ESPN Radio. Mark, when it comes to the future there in Denver now, I mean, Stink, you got the Donkeys, what, drafted, I think, 12th overall in the first round. Mm-hmm. Do they move up? Do they try and wait for a quarterback to fall to them? What do they do with the most important position in sports?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, we're going to know kind of free agency if they go after – you know, a guy that to me has had a year of football rehab. And the guy that really intrigues me out there is Sam Darnold. And I know a lot of people say, well, he went to Carolina, you know, he came to the Jets, all those things. But sitting down with Kyle Shanahan the last two games of the season talking about Sam Darnold and spending probably 20 minutes each Sunday morning with Sam Darnold on the field just talking to him. Here's a guy that, you know, was the third overall pick, went to the Jets, who had a guy by the name of Jeremy Bates as the offensive coordinator. He was a guy that was implementing the Peyton Manning offense. And here's what Kyle Shanahan told me. There's only one guy in the history of the National Football League that can run the Peyton Manning offense, and that's Peyton Manning. And to ask a rookie to run that style of offense, like you're like just static and before the snap, pick out who you're going to throw it to and figure out what the, you know, defense they're in and then make the right decision or check out of the play. Like, you can't ask guys to do that. And so Sam Darnold, up until the last seven or eight games of his last year in Carolina, had never been in a progression, a NFL progression type of offense. And so Sam Darnold had this opportunity to go to many other places to compete for a starting job. He chose to go to San Francisco to sit behind Brock Purdy and actually learn an NFL offense. And, swallowed his pride, was instrumental in Brock Purdy's development, has worked his ass off to get this opportunity. And there's a guy to me that you look at, you know, those hard knock learning opportunities that he had through his first several years in the National Football League. And then to be in that San Francisco offense, there's a guy that I feel like has that opportunity to kind of do what Baker Mayfield did in his fourth opportunity in the National Football League. And that is to really grow as a quarterback. So I would love to see them go in that direction. It looks like, you know, if they're going to move up in the draft, it'll be, you know, going after a guy like J.J. McCarthy or something. You may have to move up, you know, to 8 or 7 or somewhere in that area. So I just don't know. But I know this about Sean. He's going to find the guy that he loves, that he's absolutely enamored by, and he's going to give that guy the opportunity to run his offense.
When was the last time you had somebody walk up to you while you were doing yard work? Go, you do good work. Can I get a card?
It was one of my proudest moments. I had new neighbors come in. This is about two summers ago, and I was doing this landscaping feature. I was extending this rock wall, and a guy came right up to me and said, "Hey, man, we just moved in, and my front yard is not, you know, up to
the standard that I think the rest of the neighborhood needs. Can you give me a bid? And to which, you know, I was like, absolutely. You ain't going to like my bid, though. But yeah, I'll give you a bid.
And oh, by the way, I live here. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can help you out. I don't mind helping you out.
Stink, we always appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for the insight. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Sounds good, man. Take care, guys.
Hugs, kisses, man. He's one of the best. Mark Schlereth, otherwise known as Stink, for many reasons, joining us here on ESPN Radio. Matt Wilson, how much would it cost you or cost someone to have you wear the same yard shirt for four straight years and not wash it?
That repulses even me, much less other people. Like, I feel like when I don't smell good, I can smell myself. And I think if you can smell yourself, then the other people can definitely smell you. So I couldn't do it. I was going to ask him, really, at the beginning, why does everyone call you Stink? And then to your credit, you just explained it right in the middle of it. And so I didn't have to do it. I thank you. Because I've heard for years people call him Stink. And I'm always like, that feels like a mean thing to call somebody. But now he acknowledges that he smells terrible. And so I'll start calling him Stink too.
Yeah, well, he grew up in Alaska, you know, and working.
They have
fish.
Water in Alaska. You're allowed to shower.
And soap. All right, coming up next, conference tourneys have begun. When you return, we'll give you a scientific breakdown of Matt Jones's five teams. Now, he has picked the national champion. How many years running now?
Since 1997, I've picked five teams. One of them has won the title every year but one. So 25 out of 26.
You get his five teams when you return right here on ESPN Radio.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
ACC Men's Basketball Tournament. The Big 12 Men's Semifinals and Championship.
If it goes, he makes it home.
The madness is coming. Hear them both right here on ESPN Radio. You can also listen on the ESPN app and on your smart speaker.
On that ESPN app, just click that far right, those little dots on the bottom right. Scroll on down to live radio and listen to all your college hoops action as Championship Week is upon us. And what you were about to hear.
First of all, before you skip over it, this is my cousin here. Do you know this? This is Morgan Wallen from Sneedville, Tennessee.
Hold on a minute.
Hancock County.
Hold on a minute. He's Matt Jones in for Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. Morgan Wallen's your cousin?
My grandmother and his grandmother are sisters. So I guess that makes us like.
Fifth cousins?
Or excuse me. Yeah, so whatever, second, third, whatever it is. But, yes, they were sisters. Her name was Boots, and my grandmother's name was Helen, and I loved Boots. Boots was one of my favorite people. That was his grandma. So I don't really know him, but I loved his grandmother quite a bit. And so I always cheer. I've met him a few times, but I cheer for him from afar.
That's like my daughter's number one. Luke Combs is number two.
Yeah, I hesitate to tell people that because everybody's like, well, you get me tickets. And, like, we don't have that kind of relationship. You know, I was around him a lot when he was a little kid, and I saw him at Boots' funeral, and I've seen him a couple times. But it's not like I can't just call him up and be like, yo, Morgan, what's up? You got some tickets for me? I'm not going to be that cousin. So I just let it go.
That's the other part about working here with the four letters. Like, everyone thinks we get any ticket we want. We don't. All right.
I'm just trying to get in the Missouri Valley Tournament Saturday, and they're giving me a hard time. I just want to see
Sun started.
I just
want to
see Indiana State play, and they're like, I don't know, Matt. How much are you on ESPN? So I don't know.
That's what, and then when you get somebody free tickets, what drives me really insane, this is my biggest pet peeve outside of the word, the term pet peeve, and that is, well, where are the seats? And Chris Carlin had a great response for this.
You just tell him to shut up.
I mean, Chris Carlin goes, they're in the free section. Do you want them or not?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's a great response. But anyway, wow, Matt Jones. You learn something new about Matty every single time you do a show with him or listen to him. And Morgan Wallen, yeah, they're cousins, and yeah, they're tight. If you need tickets, hit him up on Twitter. There you go. Now, this is remarkable, and I know you downplay it, but since 1997, you have missed on the overall NCAA men's tournament champion in college basketball every year except for one.
No, I've gotten it every year but one. Missing every year would not be impressive.
Oh, excuse me. No, no.
Getting it correct every year except one would be pretty good.
Thank you, counselor. I think most people knew what I meant. But, yeah, you've only missed it one time. That's amazing. You picked five teams, and of those five, someone in that group has won the Natty every single year. So, Rachel, we might need a little music for this, a little flow. Matt, the floor is yours. Your five teams with championship week upon us are?
Well, I have four of the five picked. I'm saving for the fifth until we get to conference tournament week. But here's my system, first of all. It's not crazy, all right? One is statistical-based. You look for a team that's good on offense and defense, top 20 in the KenPom. That this year, the ones that satisfy that, here are my four that are definitely in. Houston, in. Connecticut, in. Purdue, in. Those three teams are in my top five. Then, if you look historically to win a national championship, if you are not one of those teams, you better be a power program. The only time I ever got it wrong was 2014 with UConn, and that year the NCAA tournament was on acid. Kentucky was an 8 seed, UConn was a 6 seed, and they played in the national championship game. But, Ian, even though it was a 6 and an 8 seed, what was it? Two power programs, Kentucky and UConn. So you don't win a national championship unless you've been good for a number of years in a row and knocking on the door, or unless you're a power program. Houston, Purdue, and Connecticut, either power programs or been knocking on the door. So who's my fourth? I'm taking North Carolina. RJ Davis is great. They have a really good offense. Their defense is okay. My fifth team, I'm down to basically three. I'm either going to take Kentucky, who's maybe the hottest team in the country in terms of how they play. I may take Tennessee, even though I don't like Tennessee, but I think they're really good this year. They're balanced on offense and defense, or Arizona in their final year of the Pac-12. So of my five, four of them are going to be Purdue, Houston, Connecticut, and North Carolina, and then I will either take Kentucky, Tennessee, who's my other one I was saying?
Arizona.
Kentucky, Tennessee, or Arizona. And by the way, people say about the NCAA tournament it's wide open. It's not wide open. The best team does not always win. Matter of fact, most years the best team doesn't win. But one of the best teams, Ian, always wins. Random teams do not win the tournament, contrary to what people act like. It'll be the same way this year. The champ will be one of those five teams that I end up picking.
So, again, if you are just tuning in, he's got – and, again, this is – I mean, he downplays it, but it's still pretty damn remarkable. Since 1997, he has picked the eventual national champion in the NCAA tournament every single year except for one in 2014.
Well, one of five teams. I'm not picking it individually every year.
That's still remarkable when you have – I mean, five of 68. I mean, damn, son.
Well, the ones that have been impressive were in 2011, I picked the Kimball Walker UConn team. I put them as my fifth one. And then the first year that Florida won, the second year it was obvious they were going to win. But that first year, I was torn between them and another as my fifth team. I ended up going with Florida, and then they won the national championship. So,
bottom line is, have these five teams survive and advance as far as you possibly can, depending
Houston,
on where they
Connecticut,
are.
Purdue, yep. North Carolina, and my initial inclination is Kentucky, although I might throw Tennessee.
Their defense worries me a little bit. Dalton Connect's a bad A. I mean,
Kentucky and Tennessee play Saturday. My inclination is to say whoever wins that game is my fifth team.
Tennessee is one of those squads that they can beat you in the 50s or beat you in the 90s. You see the Alabama game on Saturday, right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
You want to run? We'll run. You want to play D? We'll play D.
People don't know Dalton Connect, but Dalton Connect that plays at Tennessee is going to be a first-round NBA draft pick. Came from Northern Colorado. The dude is a baller. I think they'll be hearing his name in March as they advance on.
He's Matt Jones. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. He's in for Amber Wilson again. Houston, UConn, Purdue, UNC have them surviving and advancing no matter where they are in the bracket. And then keep an eye on Kentucky, Tennessee, and Arizona. He will give you his fifth team coming up on ESPN Selection Radio
Sunday. I'm hosting the Selection Sunday show with Myron Metcalf. Hope people will listen.
And by the way, best laugh in radio is Myron Metcalf.
Yes, he's the best.
Hands down. The host of ESPN's College Game Day, Reese Davis, will give you his sleepers when it comes to the tourney and the future of college football when he joins us coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.